Luke chapter number 8. We preached one part of this message already. On go is in God, in the Gospels, the theme for our month this year. And now our key verse is Mark chapter number 16 and verse number 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's our key verse. But we're looking in Luke chapter number 8 with the story of the demoniac of Gadara. Three times the word go appears in this story. And let's just read some of it. Most of you are familiar with it. Well, let's just begin down in about verse number 22. And now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth, but as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they began, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and water, and they obey him. What about that? Well, if we get God's people to do what the winds and waves would do, we'd see revival probably. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out, and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I thought, you know, the devil says that. What have I to do with thee? The devil don't want nothing to do with Jesus. The devil don't want none to do with the things of God. What have I to do with thee? We're not even on the same page. We're not even going in the same direction. What have I to do with thee? And then there's people all around Rogersville claim to be saved and don't want nothing to do with Jesus. Something's wrong with that. If devil says, what have I to do with thee? Then and you don't want nothing to do with Jesus, or they don't, or whoever, then I think they're pretty much in the same class. Amen. He said, I beseech thee, torment me not. Verse 29, for he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters. And he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, what is thy name? And he said, Legion. Because many devils were entered into him. Boy, I seen something there to comment on, but I'll go on. Verse 31, and they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there were there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain, and they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it into the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they also which saw it told them by what means he was possessed of the devils was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear, and he went up into the ship and returned back again. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed, notice this verse, besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away saying, return to thine own house. Return to thine own house. One of the other accounts of the gospel, in fact, Mark's gospel records this same verse. It says, where it says here, return to thy house. Jesus said in Mark chapter number 5 and verse 19, go home to thy friends. Go is in the gospel. Return to thine house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. Let's pray. Father, have your will and your way as we endeavor to share another portion of your precious word. Speak to us this morning. Deal with sinners. Stir the saints of God. Help us all to realize that time is running out. Dear Lord, this thing's about over. And dear Father, there's multitudes all over the world lost without God. And we have been given the personal commission to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And Lord, the only way that we can do that is through the arm of missions. It's the only way that we can carry out the uttermost parts of the world and reach them and get the gospel to every creature. And wherever there's a creature, there needs to be a preacher. And God help us to be mission-minded, mission-hearted. And dear Father, to get involved in supporting missions. And thank you for allowing us one more time this morning just to be able to step out and do something else. To be able to get the Word of God out. Lord, we're not interested in hoarding it up and building some kingdom beside the road here. Lord, we're interested in getting the gospel out, and I pray you'll work in our hearts to even in a greater way. Thank you for Brother Davidson and Seedline and all the work that they do and the privilege it is for us to be a part of that. And Lord, I pray you continue to help us to be faithful and to give and allow you to give through us. Lord, you can give it through us. If you can get it through us, you can get it to us. Lord, I pray you help us to be people of faith that'll trust you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. I've already dealt with one Wednesday night on Go is in God. In fact, two-thirds of His name, G-O-D, is G-O. Go. You take go out of God and you've destroyed His heart. You've destroyed His work, His will, His purpose. Go is in the gospel. You can't even spell gospel without the word go at the beginning. Amen. Go is in the gospel. Go is in God. How many people knows God but don't go? How many people knows about the gospel but don't go? Something's wrong with that. I don't believe it's the Lord's will that there be more people on planet Earth today, more people on planet Earth today lost without God than there's ever been at any one time in the history of the human race. Are you listening to that? But yet at the same time, there's fewer people doing less. Or more people doing less. Amen. Used to, when I first started out, that you could about count on. If you had a revival, there'd be a young boy surrendered to preach. Amen. The Lord's blessed me to be able to see two of them in the last, about the last month and a half, see two young men surrender to ministry, to preach the gospel. But that's scarce. You don't see it happening much. Why? I'm afraid we're not training our children, raising our children to be servants of the Lord. But rather, they're career-minded. They're career-minded. They're more interested in living the American dream and getting all they can get and having all they can have and making all they can make. Amen? Getting more so you can spend more to make more and have to have four or five jobs and, amen, to try to make ends meet. And all of that, but God help us to realize that what we have and what we do should never come at the expense of the gospel. I mean, really, a lot of people live their life off of what really belongs to God. Amen? I mean, what really belongs to God, they're keeping it for themselves and living off of that. You know what you're doing? And most of you, if you raise a garden, Brother Gene, I know, used to raise a garden a lot, and Brother James and several others. You know what you do? You will not have a garden long if you continue to eat your seed. Them old timers, my friend, they knew if I'm going to have a harvest, I'm going to have to plant something. I'm going to have to sow something. But they wouldn't eat all their seed. They would keep seed because without seed, there could not be a harvest. Amen? But a lot of people's eating their seed. They're holding on to it. So, well, I've got to have it. I've got to have it now. I can't make it now. But you're eating your seed. What's going to happen in the harvest? What's going to happen in the harvest? But anyway, go is in God and in the gospel. And I know some of you are here on that Wednesday night when God gave us that illustration about a red light, a traffic light. And you have the three different colors. You have the red, then you have the yellow, and then you have the green. And all three of those lights could be in your life. All right? Red is, I titled it this way, the red represents no. No! How many people's got the no? They're saying no to God's will. They're saying no when God deals with them about sin in their life. They're saying no when God asks them to pray about faith promise missions given. They say no. You know what? They're at the red light. They're stopped. They're not moving. They're not going anywhere. They'll be the same next week as they are this week. They'll be the same next month as they are this month. Why? Because their Christian life concerning the gospel is explained by the word, by the color red. They're stopped. Then there's the yellow. That is the woe. Yeah, the no, a lot of people's there, but then some are not there. They're at the yellow. You're not stopped. You're just preparing to. You're not stopped. You're just getting ready to. You're moving your foot off the gas and putting it on the brake. How many people's doing that? They're not interested in the green, which is the go. You have the no and the woe and the go. Amen? Not too many people's interested in the go. They're interested in slowing down or are stopping spiritually. But I promise you this, if you are slowing down and stopping spiritually, it's because you're getting a green light somewhere else and on something else. Amen? Amen. If you're slowing down at the red light of the gospel, it's because you're getting a green light of the flesh. You're getting the green light of carnality and so on and so forth. And so you remember that, the no and the woe and the go aspect. But in our text passage, three times there is a go that appears in this story that I read. Three times. The first one is in Luke 8 and verse 22 when he told the disciples to get in the ship and to go to the other side. So there's our first go. That is, I call that the go of direction. The go of direction. Here's people that are saved. They're following the Lord. They're disciples of Jesus. And Jesus is telling them what to do. Jesus is telling them what to do. You know, a lot of people don't want that. They don't want they want a Savior, but they don't want a Master. They want a Savior that can forgive of sin and take them to heaven when they die, but they don't want a Master that'll stand up and say, do this, get in the ship, and go to the other side. Amen? That's right, they don't. But Jesus was given command there in verse 22. Now it came to pass that on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples and said unto them, let us go over to the other side. What we need concerning missions is that God give, and He has already given in His Word the go of direction. We've already been told to go. I like what Brother Stanton Blue said last Sunday. He said, he asked the question, he said, when God gives the commission and says to go you in all the world and preach the gospel, was He kidding? We act like He was kidding. Hi, Lord, you don't really mean that. You just said that because it sounded good. No, when God said to go, that is personal. That is personal. When I got saved, God says to me, go. Ye in all the world and preach the gospel. Now, how can I do that? I'm just one person. I don't have the means to do that. I don't have enough life to do that. I don't have enough years to do that. So the only way that I can carry out the will of God is through the arm of missions. Amen. Amen. That's right. So we thank God for that. There's the go of direction that was given to disciples. And then on down in Luke 8 and verse 31, we find the second word go. The second word go. Luke 8 and verse 31. And they besought him, that is the devils, they besought him that he would not command them to go into the deep. In other words, the first command, the first go, was God giving the go of direction to the disciples. But I'm glad that same Savior, Brother Silas, that's able to give a go to the disciples. And by the way, can I say this? A lot of people's waiting on a voice when you've already got a verse. Well, preacher, I'm not going to get a mission God ain't told me. Well, I'm not going to be involved in missions praying for it or going or whatever because, I'm waiting on a voice. We've done got a verse. And if you've got a verse, you don't need a voice. Amen. Come on now. But there's the go of direction that was given to the disciples. Then there's the go of defeat that was given to the devil. Aren't you glad that those that we go to witness to preach to, and share the gospel with, and we know their problem, we know their condition, and we know what they need, but I'm glad we have a Savior, thank God, that's able to tell the devil, go. Amen. I'm glad that. Amen. Hallelujah. He's able to do that. And then there's the third go. Luke 8 and 39 says, return to thine own house. But Mark 5, 19, the same passage says, howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends. So the first go is to go up to the disciples, or a go of direction. The second was a go of defeat. I'm glad Jesus is still able to defeat the devil. Amen. Amen. Jesus didn't ask them. Jesus told them, go. And here's the thing that gets my attention. When Jesus told the disciples to go, they went. When Jesus told the devil to go, he went. And then last, when he told the man that got saved to go home, he went. The whole success of this whole story of a man's life being changed, resulting in 10 cities. Being affected for God, all wrapped around one thing, being told to go and went. There is no spiritual success when Jesus says go and we don't go. Are you listening? Amen. Told the disciples go, they went. Told the devil to go, he went. Told this man that got saved, go home to thy friends and show what great things God has done. And he did. Amen. Boy, God help us to do that. To know that God saves us for the purpose of service. Listen, you can't look in the Bible and find salvation independent of and excluding service. You can't find it. You don't work to get saved, you work because you are saved. You don't serve to get saved, you serve because you are saved. Being saved makes you a servant. Amen. Just like with Paul, and somebody alluded to it earlier, about being aggressive. They're going to be as aggressive for God as they were to the devil. Brother Keith, you make that statement. I believe you did. We all serve the devil. We all serve the flesh. We all serve the sinful nature when we were lost. When we got, and we did it well, I might add. Amen. We did it well. But I want to say, dear friend, that when you get saved, you don't quit serving. You just switch masters. Amen. There is the go of direction, a go of defeat. And then there's the go of display or demonstration. He's telling the man that just got saved, I want you to go and be a walking, living testimony of what I can do for people. You know why a lot of people don't go? They don't have nothing to show. He said, go and show. Go home to thy friends and show what great things. You know what? You won't go if you don't have nothing to show. Amen. In fact, let me just say this, and I hope you understand. If you need it further explained, I'll be glad to do it after the service. But if you don't have nothing to show, you're just not saying nothing. You do much damage, anybody does much damage to the gospel when you're living a carnal, wicked, corrupt life, and then you tell somebody you're saved. You're doing a lot of damage right there, friend. Amen. 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 But that's not God's will. It's not God's will for you to be silent. It's not God's will for you to not go. It's not that. That's not God's will. But on the other hand, it's not God's will for you to be unfaithful and worldly and carnal and involved with all kinds of worldly, fleshly things. That's not the will of God. No, but God needs people that'll go and that will show what God has done. Amen. Did you know God can't do anything and keep it hid? God created the worlds, and it's very evident. Are you listening? Jesus didn't die in a corner. Jesus didn't die in a closet. Jesus died in public, right there in public. He died between heaven and earth where people could see Him. Amen. You know why? Because God wants His works to be evident. He wants His works to be public. He wants His work to be visible. Go show what I've done for you. Amen. But let me just begin to deal with this as the Lord will help me too. I know it won't get done, but let me just share a few things with you. The first thing I notice about this go, number one, I notice there is the partners of go. Now that blesses me. That speaks to my heart, the partners of go. Look in verse number 22, there's one word that really ought to help you and ought to help me today. And let me just read it, verse 22 again of Luke 8. Now it came to pass on a certain day that when He went into a ship with His disciples, He said unto them, here's a good one, let us go. There is the partners of go. It's not that you're going by yourself. Oh, that's good, isn't it? I notice there are two sets of partners here that I'd like to make reference to. There's the others that are in the ship. And then there's the omnipotent one that's in there with them. Amen? Oh, sometimes the devil gets on my back and says, you're the only one. There ain't nobody else. Ain't nobody else preaching against sin. No, and there's not many. Amen. There's not that many churches that's interested in trying to hold to the straight and the narrow path. There's not many left. And well, the devil will say, hey, there's not too many. And that's one of the blessings I come to church on Sundays, because I get to congregate with some people of like faith. I get to congregate with some people that believes what I believe. Amen. The partners of go. Let us go. The others. You're not alone. And by the way, can I just say this? Carrying out the go of the gospel, there's no way you can do it by yourself. Are you listening? I think we support 60-something missionaries or whatever, and I want to tell you, there's no way I can do that on my own. Brother Brian, there ain't no way you can do that on your own. No way that any one person in this building could carry that out no more than just one of those disciples could row that ship to the other side. It took a group effort. They were in there rowing. They were in there, my friend, maneuvering that ship, directing that ship. They were in there, my friend, manning that ship. That ship didn't just get to the other side because Jesus was in it. No, it took manpower. And I want to tell you, to get the gospel out to the uttermost parts of the earth, my friend, requires joint effort. What one cannot do, a group can do. Amen? Oh, yep, help us, Lord. And you know, really, the common sense truth of that is, What if about half of them said, you know what, Jesus, I'm not going. You know what would have happened? What few did go, it would have thrown all of the weight on them. They would have had to have picked up the slack. They would have had to have done all the rowing. They would have had to done all the chores and the responsibilities on that ship to get to the other side. Are you listening? The partners. Group effort. Everybody doing something. Everybody can't do it. Nobody can do it all, but everybody can do it all. Oh, that's a good saying. Nobody can do it all, but everybody can do it all. Amen. As we join together amen, as our church, we join together and thank God for the mission effort here at the church, and thank God for those that have been faithful through this past mission year to give and give financially into the mission effort. And I don't know who done what. I'm not interested in knowing who done what. But somebody's done something. Amen. Just took it on yourself to get one of those missions envelope and fill it out and put something in it for the cause. And when you put that in the plate, you're saying, preacher, I want to do my part. I want to do my part. Amen. I want to do my part. So there's the others. And then there's the omnipotent partner. Oh, I'm glad it's not just me and you trying to do this. I'm glad on board the ship with us, amen, going in the same direction we're going, is the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. Boy, I like that myself. He was leading them. He was the one in charge and said, let us go. He picked the ship. He picked the direction. He picked the time. He was leading. A lot of people need to realize how important it is to have Jesus leading in their life. Amen. Boy, that song, I was hoping we'd learn it. Amen. Maybe we can get it learned. Our theme verse for this month is, if Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. If Jesus goes with me. Oh, preacher, storms and troubles and difficulties come. Hey, it don't matter. Look who's on board with you. Amen. Look who's going through it with you. Look who's there with you. Amen. So there is the partners. There is the partners. There's the others that were in the ship with them. Then there was the omnipotent one. That's just a big word that means all-powerful. He's the all-powerful one that was leading them. And watch this. He wasn't just leading them. He was launching them. Because he used that term also in verse 22. Let us go to the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. Amen. How many's been saved a good long while and you've never yet launched forth? How many's been saved a good length of time and you've never got serious about the will of God for your life? Amen. I'm serious about that. A lot of people's never prayed, Lord, what will you have me to do? Lord, you saved me and I'm grateful and I'm thankful, but why did you save me? For what purpose did you save me? To take you to heaven? That would have been His purpose. He'd have took you to heaven when you got saved. You'd have got saved, and the next minute you'd been in heaven. That wasn't His main purpose. His main purpose is to save you and then use you. He wanted to save you and use you. He wanted to save you and then make you a disciple as having a testimony to where others could see what God has done in your life. And that's evident in this text right here. He went over there, got that man got saved. And as a result, he was commissioned to go home, go to his family, go back to his friends, go back to his home territory and witness. Amen. But how many has ever done that? Amen. Very few people. Listen, I wonder how long it's been since you've handed out a gospel tract. Don't answer that. But I guarantee that question right there is convicting on some. Well, that's what Brother Silas is doing. No, that's not. That's what Brother Chuck does. No, that's not. That's what the church is supposed to be doing. Amen. That's what the church is supposed to be doing. God help us, amen. There is others, and then there's the omnipotent. And then could I move on to a second truth real quick? Real quick. Not only the partners of go, but number two, the perils of go. Just because you're doing the will of God, don't think everything to be sunshiny. Don't think for everything to sail smoothly. There will be storms in your life. There'll be storms in your life. Someone said you can measure your spirituality by what it takes to stop you. Some, it doesn't take much to stop them. I'm increasingly more amazed the further I go in this walk with God, how little it takes to knock people off of their props, knock them out of the saddle, get them to where they're just completely out of whack with God. I mean, I've seen them, brother, the slightest little disagreement with somebody else and they're gone. Slightest little offense, they're gone. My soul, where is that be men and be women for God that's going to go with God regardless? There's going to be storms. There's going to be perils that'll come in your life, not pearls. There was pearls, everybody'd be lined up from here to Bristol to get in this thing. Hey, ship, don't sail without me. I didn't say pearls, I said perils. There's perils, P-E-R-I-L-S. There will be perils in this walk with God. You go, they were in the will of God. Brother Brian, they were in the will of God and the storm come. So preacher, I must be out of the will of God. I've got a storm going on in my life. That don't mean nothing. You need to find out, number one, was it self-inflicted or self-caused storm? A lot of my storms, I reach up and get the dark clouds and pull them into my life. Amen. A lot of my storms are self-imposed, self-caused. But there are times that you can be in the perfect will of God and doing the will of God and, my friend, going in the direction of God. And, my friend, a storm come in your life. Sure, the perils. You know what the first peril I seen here was? A sleeping Savior. A peril of a sleeping Savior? Oh, yeah. When it looks like He don't care. When it looks like that He's unattached to what's going on in your life. The Bible said that they were full of water and in jeopardy. And what was Jesus doing? Sleep. You may be sitting here this morning, your life is it's all up in the air. You don't know which end is up. You don't know where you're going or whether you're coming. Everything's in a tailspin and you go to pray and it's almost like, excuse me, Lord. Wake up! Come on now. I've been saved almost 30 years. I know what I'm talking about. There's times that you wonder, does God even know where I'm at and what I'm going through, and does He care? So one peril that you'll have to face in this go when you are going with God is that peril of a sleeping Savior. Say amen right there. The second peril, right quick, not only is a sleeping Savior, but a severe storm. Storms, listen, storms of themselves cannot stop the saints, nor the Savior. They encountered a storm, but they kept going. I said you can have a storm, friend, even with Jesus on board. You can have a storm even in the will of God. Are you listening? Oh yes, but if I'm going to have a storm, I want a storm in the will of God. Because Jesus is there. Amen. I've got His commandment behind me where He told me, Lord, You told me to get in this ship. Lord, You told me to go in this direction. Amen. Boy, it means a lot when you're able to say, God, You told me. Well, that's what's helped me here, Brother Keith, at Rogersville. 18 years and my soul. I can't count the storms we've been through. I don't want no more. I don't want no more. I'll tell you, we've been through it here, boy. I'm telling you, some bad ones. You know, and you know, but the thing that kept me going was that in my heart, settled, unquestionable, I was able to go to God and say, God, You sent me and You told me to go to Rogersville. Amen. 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 But there is the severe storm. Not just the sleeping Savior, but the severe storm. Can I say this? Storms of life should not stop God's goes. God says go. You think there's going to be a storm? Of course. But it won't stop God's goes. You know what puts a red light on God's goes? You do. God will never put a red light on the gospel telling you to stop. That's enough, Brother Brian. You've handed out enough tracts. God will never tell you you've done enough tracts. You've prayed enough. Brother Keith, he won't never give you the red light. Sorry, see line, y'all backers, scale it down a little bit. Don't do the gospel no more. You've already done multiplied millions of copies. Don't do no more. No, you'll never get the red light. If you got a red light, it's because you've done it. Amen? You've done it. All right, listen to this. Which is a greater force in your life? Which is a greater force in your life? Storms? Or God telling you to go? Are you listening? I'm about done. I mean, I'm not done, but I'm going to quit. But I want to ask you again, what is a stronger force in your life? Storms? Difficulties? Hardships? Adversities? Does that speak louder to you than the Savior saying, go? Are you listening? The storms will never stop God's go. God says go, and God said to go in this text knowing there was going to be a storm. That storm didn't slip up and sneak up on them and say, and wake Jesus up and say, oh man, I didn't know. I thought that was tomorrow that was coming. No, He's never confused. Jesus is never confused. Jesus is never out of touch. He's always knowing what's going on in your life. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the ending and all in between. Let me give you this right here. I thought this was good. The most dangerous storm in your life. I'm talking about the perils of go. The most dangerous storms in your life is not the storms around you, but the storms in you. These disciples got in the ship and they was going to the other side and they encountered a storm that was around them. But when they went down out of fear and unbelief and doubt and questioned the care of the Savior, carest thou not that we perish? You know what they were expressing? That not just the storm outside, but there was a storm inside. All the water of the oceans of the world could not sink the first ship until the ocean gets in the ship. The smallest ship can sail across the top of the deepest, widest, largest oceans on planet Earth and will never sink it. Millions, I guess you could say, when you do all of the cubic mileage, probably millions of square miles of ocean, width, length, depth, and all of that. But all of that together can't sink one ship until it gets in it. And then when it gets in it, don't take much. It doesn't take much. And so it is, that's true with the ship, but it's also true with the saint. No matter what's going on in life, it'll never sink you unless you let it get in you. And bitterness is a sign that it's got in you. Are you listening? Doubt and unbelief is a sign that it's got in you. What's going on around you has got in you. And I believe, Brother Silas, I can say today, to God be the glory. The reason I'm still in the fight, still going forward after 29 years of preaching is not because of the lack of storms around me. Because anybody that lives for God are going to have them. I've never met one yet that doesn't have them. Job's described it this way, man that's born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. Why do you think that a high percentage of the scriptures is given to encouragement? The book of Psalms, you can't read many verses until you find David encouraging you. God is our refuge and strength and a very present help in the time of trouble. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Why is He saying that? It's because He's lived it. He's been there. Amen. He's talking in Psalm 57. He said, I will make my refuge underneath these wings until these calamities be overpassed. Storms around you and storms in you. I don't have to ask. I know a lot. I don't know everything, but I know there's folk in our church really got some storms going on in their life. Physical storms, financial storms, marital storms, all kinds of storms. But what will bring the death blow or at least the crippling blow spiritually to you is when it starts to get in you. And you can tell when it's getting in you when it's all you want to talk about. You can tell it's in you when you think about it all the time. And your life gets filled with bitterness and, oh, you can get, listen, you can get around people and just listen to them a minute and you can tell what's in them. You can tell what's in them. You won't never get sick till something gets in you. Something's got to get in you and that's the target. Devil's not just wanting to get on you. Hey man, he's wanting to move it a little closer and get a little more intimate. Alright? Listen to this. The Savior asleep in their storm wasn't showing them that He didn't care or that He didn't know about their circumstances. But He was showing them that in the midst of severe storms, you can have peace. You say, of course, that was Jesus. I can see why He would sleep in the storm like that when everybody else is in jeopardy, everybody else feeling like they're going under, they're going to sink. Of course, Jesus is asleep. Jesus here was demonstrating what God can do in a human being. Sleeping is not an attribute of God. Sleeping is not a characteristic of God. In fact, you'll never find anywhere the Bible says that He sleeps. In fact, I find where the Bible says He neither slumbers nor sleeps. So Him sleeping was His humanity. Okay, let me give you another example. What about Peter in the book of Acts? The day before his execution. He was so fast asleep that they had to come in. When the angel had come in to rescue him and take him out, he had to come in and, I mean, wake up! He didn't just speak to him and say, all right, Peter, get up, let's go. It's not time for you to die. I've got work for you to do. Let's go. Opening all them doors, coming in, going out, opening all those doors, causing all those watchmen to fall into deep sleep. Come in there, Peter. Next day, you're supposed to die. Peter, what's the deal? Sleeping. I believe I'm sleeping the best tonight I've ever slept. But you're going to die tomorrow. When you pillage your head, you thought you was going to die tomorrow. Yeah, but God said it wasn't. Amen. Amen. Hey man, you ought to read it. God gave him a promise that he would live to be old in John 21. But let me say this, he was asleep. He was resting in an awful situation. He was so dead asleep that it took an angel bumping on him and speaking to him and rousing him up to get him awake. And then he went over to the house where there's a praying. Rhoda come to the door, knocking. He knocked at the door. They was praying for Peter to get out. Peter knocked at the door and they said, who is it? He said, it's Peter. Rhoda went running back in the house where they was praying for him to get out. And it shocked them all. That can't be Peter. We're praying for him to get out of jail. Prayer's answered. Amen. But I'm talking about there is, ladies and gentlemen, the perils of storms. Well, I've just purposed in my heart, by the grace of God, I'm going forward, come what may. By the grace of God, I'm going on. I believe I mentioned that one night in our revival meeting. I said, I'm going forward. I can't tell you the times I've been disappointed in people. I've been disappointed in people. I've been disappointed in preachers. I've been disappointed in family members. I've been disappointed, are you listening, in church members. I've been disappointed about every way you could think of just about it. I've even been disappointed in myself. But I am not going to let my disappointment produce defeat in my life to where I quit on God and throw in the towel. Amen? Because if you don't go, the gospel don't go. Let me say this to you. Show it to me in the Bible where the gospel has legs on its own. Show me in the Bible where the gospel has a mouth of its own. Hands of its own. The gospel goes as you go. If you quit, then that's another hand off of the, that's another hand that's stopping to row the ship and to get it to the other side. And I'm just going to mention this. This is actually my next, going into the next point. But there's a purpose in going. When God told him to get in that ship, Brother Rob, and go to the other side, he had a destiny in mind. He had a purpose in mind. And here's the gist of it. I'm going to get you from where you are to where sinners are. Go. The whole purpose of go is to eliminate the distance between you and sinners. Eliminate the distance between you and sinners. Are you listening? The purpose. That's the purpose. To get Jesus. Jesus was in the ship. He's the Savior. And as the disciples went, He went. Now when they got to the other side, Jesus didn't watch the disciples save that man. But the disciples watched Jesus save that man. Jesus is waiting on us to go. And as we go, He goes. As we go, the gospel goes. If we don't go, neither does the gospel go, nor does God go. When Brother Chuck has got this playing up here on the screen before services, look at that verse in Isaiah. When God asked the question, who will go for us? Who will go for us? And Isaiah said, here am I. Send me. God is saying, there needs to be somebody going for us. And Isaiah said, I'll go. Send me. So as Isaiah went, God went. Amen. The Great Commission, Matthew 28, when He said go, then right after He said go, a couple of verses thereafter, Jesus said, and lo, I will be with you always. As you go, God says, I'll go. Amen. Let's all stand on our feet. Heavenly Father, we pray You'll take the message. Dear Lord, take, dear God, the word and the presentation, Brother Davison and Sunday School Hour and everything that's been done thus far. Speak to our hearts with it, Lord. Dear Father, there's folk in this building tonight, or this morning. Lord, You illustrated with that red light illustration, there's some in this building. Lord, they've got a red light in their eyes. They've got a red light in their mind. They've got a red light in their heart, and they're stopped. They're not interested in progressing. They're not interested in going forward. They're not interested in keeping on. But they're stopped. Lord, I pray they're getting this altar and say, God, I want the red light to be changed to a green light. I want the green light. The Word of God gives me the green light. The Holy Spirit gives me the green light. The will of God gives me the green light. The work of God gives me the green light. Lord, I want to get my foot off the brake and I want to put it on the gas pedal and I want to go forward and advance for the glory of God. And Lord, there's some in our church, Father, that's not at the red light. They're not stopped completely, but they're at that yellow light. They're slowing down and they're at that point where they're just kind of between going and stopping. Lord, I pray that they'll get in this altar and say, God, I don't want a yellow light in my life. In fact, the very term yellow light identifies caution, lets us know that there's danger ahead. And Father, I pray that those that see a yellow light in their practice and in their life, that they will know that that's a caution and that they need to be alarmed that unless they do something, they're going to be stopping in a short distance. Father, help folk to come and say, Lord, I want the green light, the green light. Forward, pressing on. It's not easy, but we're going on. Lord, we're doing do the will of God. Help our church. Help us all to collectively get together and everybody doing their part, we'll have a sufficiency. Everybody doing their part in this thing of missions. Everybody doing their part concerning scriptural giving. There will be a sufficiency to get the gospel around the world. Lord, some churches don't support missions because they don't have any money. They don't have any missions money. But I believe, Lord, that when you call and when you commission, you also equip. And I don't believe that you would have ever told us to take the gospel to the uttermost parts of the world. You told us that personally. You told us that as a church right here at Rogersville Baptist Temple and also the church collectively all across the world. You've told us to take the gospel. And I don't believe you'd ever tell us to do it if there wasn't a provision and a supply to do that. Lord, I believe that we're failing to reach the untold millions of people lost without God. Because missionaries cannot go without financial support. Lord, there's parts of this world, we've been told, there's parts of this world that a missionary cannot get a job. For them being American, they cannot have a job in foreign countries. And so their only means of staying there and preaching the gospel and building churches is for local churches in America to support them. And that's scriptural. The Apostle Paul was a missionary, supported by the local churches, many of the local churches in the New Testament. It's the will of God. Have your will and your way. Help us to know that we're doing right. Lead our hearts. Lord, what will you have us to do? In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.